ABC Radio Australia.
Papua New Guinea is in political turmoil. The country's Prime Minister, Peter O'Neill, announced yesterday that he's stepping down from the top job after losing the support of several MPs and ministers. The moves over the weekend have left many people asking questions over what happens next when Parliament is set to resume tomorrow. Much of that will only be answered by time. But to get some better understanding of what is playing out in Port Moresby, I spoke with Bal Karma. He's a PhD student at the Australian National University and an expert in law and politics.
I think Peter O'Neill is trying to gain a support by putting in Sir Julius Cheyne, an experienced and respected founding father of Papua New Guinea, one of the founding fathers. He's trying to gain the last support and possibly swing members from the alternative government to his side with that play. I'm surprised that Julius Cheyne is happy to play along and become the acting prime minister. Not only that this is a clear take the attention away from him, but also that it is somewhat an illegal move in that under the laws of Papua New Guinea, it is the deputy prime minister who should step in as the prime minister. And the prime minister doesn't have the prerogative to appoint anyone else he thinks should be the prime minister.
Well, there's no doubt the next few days are going to be crucial. Parliament resumes on Tuesday, and the opposition grouping has been talking about a vote of no confidence in Peter O'Neill all this time. Now that he says he's standing down, as you say, putting Sir Julius forward in an attempt to woo MPs back over to his side, how do you expect the next few days to play out? Is there any need for a vote of no confidence?
Assuming that Peter O'Neill goes ahead with a letter of resignation and goes to the Governor General and formally hand in his resignation, there will be no need for the vote of no confidence. I think what the opposition will do is basically put to the Speaker that, you know, the position of Prime Ministership is vacant or is untenable, and they can put in their own candidate. But if Peter O'Neill and that's, you know, the next 24 hours is a long time as well. We just don't know what will happen in this time. And he hasn't officially, formally resigned yet.
The opposition has quite clearly grown in numbers in the last few weeks, proclaiming now to have 63, which would give them a majority. But they're largely benefiting from all of these high-profile defections of people. They've previously stood in Parliament and heavily criticised and raised their concerns about deals they've done, etc. So is it not contradictory for them to now be aligned with them? And how is all of this likely to be received by the people of PNG?
Yes, I think that has been a bit of a controversy with many of the players now in the opposition camp. They are quite controversial as well in many of the controversies that have tainted PNG politics for the last 10 years. They are also now in opposition fighting for the change of government. Some of them have been very strong supporters and have been partners with Peter O'Neill. So I think once this Peter O'Neill show is done and dusted, then the attention will be turning towards some of the members of the opposition currently and what they have done to the country and whether or not, you know, investigations can be carried out against them or things like that. So I think now the focus is about removing Peter O'Neill and changing the government. But that doesn't mean that everything will kind of quieten down after that. I think the opposition will, in one way or another, the people will expect the new government and the opposition, especially those who are really wanting justice and wanting a sense of a new direction. I think the people will be expecting them to turn on other members of the opposition who have been, I guess, caught up in allegations and things that needs to be dealt with.
And on Peter O'Neill himself, the drama of the last few days has seen the attention quickly move from that ombudsman report, which was recently leaked, in which he was implicated. There were calls for an investigation into that UBS loan from a few years back, where the government borrowed $1.2 billion to buy shares in the oil and gas company Oil Search. Do you think that, though, did play a part in this latest move by Peter O'Neill? Has he seen finally that the writing's on the wall, given his name's implicated in it and calls for an investigation into him?
I think, yeah, Peter O'Neill has underestimated the fact that even the courts are quite aware of his evasive accents. And the institutions of government, the Ombudsman Commission and police, they're increasingly aware of the fact that, you know, there needs to come a time when he will be held accountable. And I think what he has witnessed in the last 2 weeks with the disclosure of the Ombudsman Commission report and the court not promptly stepping in to stop that as he would like, is an indication that these institutions of governance and these institutions of rule of law in Papua New Guinea will not turn a blind eye and will not bow down to his rule for long. You know, there must come a time where they will hold him up and they will hold him accountable. And I think he is now getting that indication that this is going to happen. And this is what we've seen with the Ombudsman Commission is the start of many other disclosures coming. And eventually questions will be asked about his arrest warrant in the next few weeks and months to come. If his government is changed, then I think police will start get busy on that case as well. So Peter O'Neill is probably in a more uncomfortable space at this point in time.